Welcome to today's deep dive. It is Monday, March 9th, 2026, and we are just really thrilled you're joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This is going to be a good one.
It really is. Today, we are looking at a pretty high-stakes, real-world tech showdown, something that is probably playing out in conference rooms all over the globe right now.
Oh, absolutely.
We're talking about the heavy-hitting battle between React and Blazor for enterprise applications in 2026.
Right. It's really the classic matchup. You've got the undisputed reigning heavyweight champion versus this rapidly growing, highly opinionated challenger. And for the folks actually making these decisions, I mean, the stakes are massive.
Exactly. So to guide us through this day, we are drawing on a brand new, incredibly comprehensive CTO's guide. This was just published by Technigian.
Yeah, they're an AI native software development company based out of Irvine in Santa Monica, California.
Right. And our mission for you today, listening, is to cut right through all the developer jargon. We want to give you a clear strategic understanding of these two frameworks.
Because as this source material makes terrifyingly clear, choosing your tech stack isn't just some, academic coding debate you have over coffee.
Row.
It is a critical business decision. It dictates so much more than just what your developers stare at on their monitors all day.
Yeah, it dictates everything.
It dictates your global hiring pipeline, your long-term maintenance costs, your security posture, and ultimately your competitive positioning in the market.
And the guide put some real hard numbers to this, which I loved. If you are a CTO, an engineering lead, or a founder, choosing the wrong framework for a new customer-facing portal or an internal dashboard, it's not a minor hiccup.
Definitely not.
You could be looking at a six-figure bill in rework, and honestly, the money isn't even the worst part.
No, the worst part is losing 12 months of market advantage.
Yeah.
Just imagine spending an entire year building a product, launching it, and then realizing the very foundation is totally wrong for your business needs.
That is a brutal conversation to have with the board of directors.
You don't get those 12 months back, which is exactly why having a strategic, hype-free framework for this decision is so vital.
Okay, let's unpack this. Let's start with the heavyweight champion of the front-end world right now, which is React.
Specifically React paired with TypeScript, yeah.
Right. I know React is massive, but looking at the data in this guide, the footprint in 2026 is just staggering. Can you walk us through the actual scale we are dealing with here?
Staggering is the right word. React is maintained by Meta, and according to the latest data from the source, it is currently used by 44.7% of professional developers globally.
Almost half.
Yeah, think about that. Nearly half of the entire professional coding workforce uses this tool. It powers an estimated 54 million live websites today.
Wow.
And that ranges from, a tiny startup's first prototype all the way up to massive, highly complex Fortune 500 customer portals.
So we know it's popular, but let's talk about the why. Obviously, 54 million websites aren't wrong. What makes React so dominant from a technical perspective?
It primarily comes down to initial performance and the user experience. React is famous for its incredibly fast initial load times.
Okay.
It achieves this through a concept called lazy loading and keeping its code bundles very small. In plain English, this means the user's browser only downloads the exact pieces of code it needs for the specific page they are looking at.
Right at the exact moment they need it.
Exactly. It doesn't download the whole website up front. This gives you that sub-second first paint where the site appears on the screen almost instantly.
Which, if we tie that back to the business, is crucial. If you are building a public-facing SaaS platform or an e-commerce site, a 2 or 3 second delay means the user loses patience
They bounce to a competitor.
and you lose revenue.
Precisely.
Hmm.
Speed is revenue in the public market. And it's not just that initial load. React offers excellent runtime performance too, which is driven by a highly optimized virtual DOM.
Let's pause there because virtual DOM is one of those terms that gets thrown around a lot. How would you explain that to someone who isn't writing code every day?
Sure. Think of the actual web page you're looking at as a highly detailed, complex painting.
Okay, a painting.
If you want to change one small detail, say the color of a button, it takes time and energy for the browser to repaint that whole section. The virtual DOM is basically a lightweight, invisible sketch of that painting.
Ah, I see.
When a user interacts with the app, React updates the invisible sketch first. It instantly calculates the absolute minimum number of brushstrokes needed to make the change, and then it updates the real painting.
That makes a lot of sense.
Because it's doing all that math behind the scenes, rapid interface updates feel incredibly snappy and responsive to the user. Plus, When you pair React with a framework like Next.js, the search engine optimization, or SEO, is top tier.
And from a management perspective, having 44.7% of developers using it has to make hiring a lot easier, right? You aren't hunting for unicorns.
Exactly. The global talent pool is a massive business advantage. The guide points out that U.S.-based React developers typically cost anywhere from $28 to $80 an hour.
That's a huge range.
It is. And because the pool is so deep, an engineer manager has maximum hiring flexibility. If you're a startup in Santa Monica's Silicon Beach trying to scale your engineering team rapidly, React gives you the numbers you need.
But I'm going to play devil's advocate here. With that kind of flexibility and that kind of speed, there has to be a catch. It can't all be sunshine and sub-second load times.
You are spot on. The flexibility of React is also its biggest curse. React is fundamentally just a front-end library. It only handles what the user sees.
Right.
To build a full-stack, functional enterprise application, you have to attach a separate back-end system to do the heavy lifting. That might be a Node.js server, a Python back-end, or a .NET system.
So right out of the gate, your engineering team is managing two entirely different environments.
Yes. Usually, they are writing in two different programming languages, and they have to constantly keep two sets of data models and validation rules perfectly synchronized.
It sounds like you are forcing your team to constantly build and maintain a bridge between two different worlds just so a user can click submit on a form.
That's a great way to look at it. And every bridge is a potential point of failure, especially when it comes to security.
How so?
Because React is so flexible and open-ended, security isn't just a switch you flip. It requires incredibly careful manual configuration. You are almost always relying on a massive patchwork quilt of third-party libraries.
Which means more risk.
Right. The CTO guide highlights a very stark reminder of this. The December 2025 Remote Code Execution, or RCE, vulnerability found in server components.
Oh, wow.
It's a sobering reminder that when you rely on a massive ecosystem of community-built tools, you have to be highly vigilant. One outdated library can compromise the whole system.
And anyone who has spent time in tech knows the absolute dread of running a routine library update and suddenly the entire application crashes.
Oh, the infamous Node Modules folder. It's an ongoing joke in the industry that the Node Modules folder, where all those third-party React libraries live, is the heaviest object in the known universe. This raises an important question. Regarding the fragmented JavaScript ecosystem, if React requires all this manual patching and bridge building, why do we tolerate it?
Because it seems famously fragmented looking at the source material.
It is exhausting. If your team chooses React, they aren't just making one decision. They immediately have to choose a state management tool. Do we use Redux, ZooStand, or Recoil?
Let me stop you again. State management. Let's break that down for the listener.
Okay. Think of state management like the memory of a restaurant waiter.
Okay.
If you order a drink on page one of the menu, state management is what ensures the waiter still remembers your drink when you flip to page two to order your main course.
Right. They need to remember it for the final bill.
Exactly. In a unified system, the waiter just remembers. In React, the system doesn't naturally remember between components, so you literally have to hire a third-party service, like Redux or ZooStand, just to act as the waiter's memory.
That sounds complicated.
Add to that, configuring bundlers like Webpack or Vite, managing version conflicts, the complexity overhead is huge.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because all of that fatigue and complexity opens the door for a framework that says, what if we just made the decisions for you?
Enter Microsoft's Blazor.
Yes, specifically running on .NET 8. The growth trajectory outlined in this guide is wild. From late 2021 to early 2026, the number of live websites using Blazor tripled.
Tripled.
From roughly 10,000 to over 32,000. And developer usage jumped from 4.46% up to 7%.
And we need to ground those numbers in reality, because these aren't just hobbyists building personal blogs.
Yeah.
The source explicitly mentions major global entities trusting Blazor in high-stakes production environments.
We're talking about big names.
Huge names. Ferrari, the Frankfurt Airport, and Celonis. These are massive organizations running incredibly complex, data-heavy operations.
Okay, so what is the magic trick here? Why is an organization like the Frankfurt Airport choosing Blazor over the heavyweight champion?
It comes down to one massive superpower, the unified stack.
The unified stack.
Right. Blazor allows C# developers to build rich, interactive, full-stack web applications without ever having to touch a single line of JavaScript.
So no bridge building.
None. In a traditional React app, as we discussed, you have JavaScript on the front end and maybe C# on the back end. With Blazor, your front-end and your back-end share the exact same C# models, the exact same validation rules, and the exact same business logic.
Wait, so if I write a rule that says a user's password must be 8 characters long, I just write it once in C# and it automatically enforces it on the front-end form and on the back-end database.
Exactly. No more context switching, no more translating between languages. It's an absolute dream for an existing .NET engineering team.
Okay, but let me push back on this. We spent the first half of this deep dive talking about React's blazing fast sub-second initial load times. How does Blazor hold up in the speed department?
That is the million-dollar question, and it depends entirely on the hosting model you choose. This is where the technical nuance is really important.
Okay.
If you choose a model called Blazor WebAssembly, or WASM, the initial load time is noticeably slower. The guide notes it typically takes about 2 to 5 seconds.
5 seconds. In 2026 web terms, that feels like an eternity. Why does it take so long?
Because of what is physically happening behind the scenes. With Blazor WASM, the user's browser literally has to download a miniature version of the .NET runtime environment before it can even render the page.
Like downloading an operating system?
Basically, yeah.
Right.
Imagine having to download a tiny operating system into your browser before the login button appears. That's the delay. But, and this is a massive but, thanks to a feature in .NET 8 called ahead of time, or AOT compilation, the performance after that initial download is incredible.
Explain ahead of time compilation for us.
Normally, code has to be translated into a language the browser understands on the fly while the user is interacting with it. AOT compilation means the code is pre-translated at the factory, so to speak.
Into the browser's native machine code.
Yes, before it's even sent over the internet.
Mm.
So this is perhaps Blazor's biggest selling point for CTOs. Blazor provides enterprise-grade security right out of the box through ASP.NET Core.
Compared to React's manual setup.
Right. Remember the patchwork quilt of third-party security libraries we talked about with React? Blazor eliminates that. You get built-in authentication with Azure Active Directory, built-in identity server integration, and built-in CSRF protection.
CSRF. Let's do another quick translation for the listener.
CSRF stands for Cross-Site Request Forgery. Imagine you are logged into your banking website in one browser tab. In another tab, you accidentally click a malicious link.
Okay.
That bad link tries to use your bank tab's logged-in status to silently forge a money transfer. It's a common, dangerous attack. Blazor has defense mechanisms against this built directly into its core framework.
And with React?
With React, you have to remember to manually configure that protection. For regulated industries like finance or healthcare, having security baked into the foundation is a massive relief.
That makes total sense. Let's talk about the financial side. The guide points out that Blazor developers in the U.S. run about $25 to $72 an hour.
Yeah.
That is roughly on par with React, maybe just a tiny bit cheaper at the top end. But reading between the lines here, the real cost savings don't come from hourly rates, do they?
Not at all.
Yeah.
The real financial efficiency comes from eliminating the language gap entirely. If you have a team of C# developers, they don't have to spend weeks learning the quirks of JavaScript or how to manage Redux state.
You don't need two teams.
Right. You don't need to hire a specialized front-end team and a specialized back-end team. One single developer can seamlessly trace a feature from the back-end database all the way to the front-end user interface. It halves your communication overhead.
So what does this all mean? We have React, which is blazing fast for users, has a massive talent pool, and is great for SEO. But it's complex to maintain and relies on third-party security. Then we have Blazor, which is a highly secure, unified C# developer's dream, but might ask your users to wait a few extra seconds on the initial load. If I'm a CTO, how do I choose?
The reality of enterprise software in 2026 is that it is rarely a zero-sum game. The answer is highly pragmatic. You use both.
Wait, both? In the same company? Give me an example of how that plays out.
Absolutely. Think about a massive company's software ecosystem. For their public-facing SaaS platform, their marketing landing pages, and their customer portals, they deploy React.
Because speed and SEO matter there.
Exactly. Areas where a sub-second load time and SEO directly impact revenue. But for their internal employee dashboards, their data-heavy operations portals, and their highly secure admin tools, they build those in Blazor.
That makes sense.
For an internal tool used by employees, a 3-second initial load time at 9 a.m. doesn't cost the company a dime. But the architectural consistency and security of that unified C# code base saves them hundreds of thousands of dollars in maintenance.
And the guide actually talks about bringing them together on the exact same screen using something called a micro front-end architecture.
Yes. This is a fascinating modern pattern.
Hold on, pause right there. Are you telling me a company doesn't actually have to choose? I could have a React component right next to a Blazor component on the exact same web page, and the user wouldn't even know.
That is exactly what I'm saying. Micro frontends allow components from different frameworks to seamlessly coexist within the exact same application shell.
That is incredible.
Imagine a complex financial dashboard. The highly interactive real-time stock ticker chart might be built in React to utilize a specific JavaScript charting library. But the massive complex data entry grid right below it, that's built in Blazor to leverage C# raw processing power.
So you get the best of both worlds.
Your engineering teams get to use the absolute best tool for each specific job without trapping the entire application in one single framework.
That is a massive paradigm shift. It completely changes the versus conversation. And quickly, what about mobile? Because every CTO is looking at their mobile roadmap alongside their web apps.
The mobile strategy perfectly mirrors the web strategy. React offers React Native, which lets you share a massive amount of code between your web app and your native iOS or Android apps.
And Blazor?
Blazor counters with Blazor Hybrid, which utilizes .NET MAUI. That allows a team to take their single C# codebase and deploy it across the web, Windows desktops, macOS, iOS, and Android.
Everywhere.
If you want maximum code reuse across every device imaginable with a .NET team, Blazor Hybrid is incredibly compelling.
Which brings us to the real-world application of all this theory. The authors of this guide, Technigian, actually build these enterprise applications for a living.
They do.
And what stood out to me is how they prevent these projects from turning into absolute disasters. Yeah. We've all heard the horror stories of scope creep, right? Projects that are supposed to take 3 months taking 2 years because the tech stack keeps changing.
Oh, absolutely. It's a common nightmare.
Technigian uses something they call a contract-first methodology.
This is a crucial detail for any business leader looking to hire an agency. A contract-first methodology means they operate on fixed scope, fixed price contracts. They define the exact technology stack, the architecture, the deliverables, and the timeline before a single line of code is ever written.
It sounds basic, but in custom software development, that level of rigid upfront planning is a lifesaver.
It really is.
It completely eliminates those mid-project debates where half the engineering team suddenly decides they want to rewrite the whole app in some trendy new framework they read about on Reddit.
Exactly.
But what really blew my mind is how they are physically building the code in 2026.
What's fascinating here is Technigian's AI workflow. They are fundamentally an AI-native company. They integrate AI-assisted code generation, automated AI testing, and AI code review directly into their daily operations.
Across both frameworks.
Yes. By leveraging these AI tools across both React and Blazor projects, they report reducing overall development timelines by 30 to 40%.
30 to 40% faster? That is huge. They note that they can deliver a functioning MVP, a minimum viable product, in just 4 to 6 weeks.
And a full production-ready enterprise application takes only 6 to 12 weeks.
But let me play devil's advocate again. Building it fast is great, but what happens 6 months after launch when a third-party React library updates and breaks the checkout page? Is the client just left to fend for themselves?
That is exactly why they don't just hand over the code and walk away. The guide details the Technigian pod, which is their 24/7 managed operations team.
Okay, the pod.
Building the app is only step one. The pod handles post-launch performance monitoring, critical security patching, dependency updates, and continuous optimization.
That's reassuring.
Because as any CTO will tell you, keeping the app secure and performant in production is where the real, hidden, long-term costs of ownership lie.
Absolutely. There is a standout quote from the Technigian engineering team in the guide that I think perfectly encapsulates our entire deep dive today.
Let's hear it.
They write, "The framework debate is the wrong debate. The right question is, what does the business need this application to do? And which technology delivers that outcome fastest, most securely, and most maintainably? We've built production applications in both React and Blazor. The answer is always project-specific."
That is the ultimate takeaway. It is never about which framework is subjectively better in a vacuum. It is about strategic alignment with the business goal.
So to wrap this up for you listening, don't just pick a framework because of the hype or because it's what you used at your last startup. Look at the mechanics.
Right.
React wins when it comes to ecosystem breadth, hiring flexibility, and public-facing speed. Blazor wins on full-stack consistency, out-of-the-box enterprise security, and seamless integration for companies that already have a strong .NET workforce.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, evaluating these technical trade-offs is ultimately about aligning with your company's long-term business strategy.
Exactly.
If your strategy relies on rapid interface iteration for a consumer audience, lean towards React. If your strategy relies on operational efficiency, heavy data security, and leveraging an existing C# workforce without cross-training them, lean towards Blazor. It really is that pragmatic.
I love that. But before we sign off, I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over. Something that wasn't explicitly stated in the source material, but really builds on everything we've talked about today.
Okay.
We just discussed how Technigian's AI integration is currently reducing development time by 30 to 40% for both of these frameworks. That is happening right now. In 2026.
It is.
But looking ahead, if AI agents become perfectly fluent in translating between JavaScript and C# on the fly, if an AI can seamlessly bridge that front to back end language gap without any human intervention, will the choice of a human readable framework even matter in another 5 years?
Oh, wow.
Or will the entire React versus Blazor debate simply become a nostalgic relic of how humans used to code? It really makes you wonder what enterprise architecture is going to look like by 2030.
That is a brilliant question to ponder. The tools change, but the need to deliver real business value is the only constant.
Exactly. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive. We hope this has given you the strategic clarity you need to navigate these complex tech decisions without getting lost in the jargon. Keep exploring, keep questioning, and we will catch you next time.